You see, if you have an issue with a brother or sister that you can't let go in Christ, then you need to discuss it with them. You might find out that you were wrong, or maybe you might find out something that you didn't know until you actually discuss it. This will only happen if you go to someone.
Welcome to this Friday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And Greg, unfortunately, the truth is that as a Christian, we'll experience failure, perhaps to the point of disgracing the Lord because we're known to be a believer.
You know, the reality is sometimes this happens. Yet the good news is that as soon as we confess and resume a walk of obedience to His Word, walking and trusting in Him, our fellowship will be restored. So with this in mind, turn with us in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 21 as we conclude our look at verses 22 to 34.
Well, thanks, Greg. Now, today's message is one you'll want to share with a friend. Just tell them to visit etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. They'll find today's broadcast as well as a host of other archived broadcasts waiting there for them. Our web address, again, is simply etsradio.org. Now, let's join Greg for today's message.
Go to Psalm 5 and let's look at verse 8. There are so many psalms concerning God's sovereign protection of His people. Now, I'm not talking about testing the Lord thy God. I'm talking about trusting the Lord thy God in the context of His promises. Certainly, there are those who die. Certainly, there are those who are persecuted unto death. But that is in the context of God's sovereign decision of when He wants to take us home. And until that time, He will protect us. Psalm 5 verse 8, O Lord, lead me in thy righteousness because of my foes. Make thy way straight before me. There is nothing reliable in what they say. Their inward part is destruction itself. Their throat is an open grave. They flatter with their tongue. Hold them guilty, O God, by their own devices. Let them fall. In the multitude of their transgression, thrust them out, for they are rebellious against thee. But let all who take refuge in thee be glad. Let them ever sing for joy, and mayest thou shelter them, that those who love thy name may exult in thee. For it is thou who dost bless the righteous man, O Lord. Thou dost surround him with favor as a shield. The Lord is with you in all that you do. When we are righteous because of Christ, the Lord is with us in all that we do. Psalm 18, up a little farther. For the choir director, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke to the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him out of the hand of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. It's interesting. He spoke it to the Lord. And he said, I love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised, and I am saved from my enemies. The cords of death encompassed me, and the torrents of ungodliness terrified me. The cords of Sheol surrounded me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried out to my God for help. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry before him came to his ears. Psalm 28, verse 7. The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him. Is he your strength and shield in every situation in your life? Is the Lord your strength and your shield? And he says, my heart trusts in him and I am helped. Therefore, my heart exalts and with song I will thank him. That's why we're singing here. The Lord is their strength and he is a saving defense to his anointed. Verse 9 of Psalm 28. Save thy people and bless thine inheritance by their shepherd also and carry them forever. Let me just share another one here. Psalm 84, verse 11. And it's all over. I could have read through a trillion psalms here and you'd be seeing God's sovereign protection of his people. Psalm 84, 11. For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord gives grace and glory. No good thing does he uphold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing. O Lord of hosts, how blessed is the man who trusts in thee. Oh, and there's so many more. You can look it on your own time in Psalm 91, Psalm 115, Psalm 121. The Lord will guard your going and your coming out from this time forevermore. Proverbs 30, verse 5, every word of God is tested. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. 2 Chronicles 16:9, for the eyes of the Lord look to and fro that He may strongly support those whose heart is completely His. Let me share two New Testament passages also. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, let's turn there. We don't need to fear evil. Trust the Lord. He is with us. We don't need to fear anything but the Lord. But you know what? We fail and we need to be reminded, don't we? We do. And Abraham needed to be reminded. He's walking with the Lord in our passage, but he needed to be reminded of his failure and that God was faithful, that God is with him. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may spread rapidly and be glorified. We pray for that, for the radio. That's what I pray, that the word of the Lord would be glorified and spread rapidly, just as it did also with you. And then notice what he's asking for prayer also, Paul is, and that we may be delivered from perverse and evil men, for not all have faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen and protect you from who? From the evil one. God is with us. He'll protect us. He'll protect us. We need to be reminded of that. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let me read this to you. Feel free to turn there too. Hebrews 13, verse 5. Let your character be free of the love of money. Be content with what you have. And he's going to tell you what you have, believer. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor desert you. I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. So that we may confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What shall man do to me? What can man do if God is with us? Man can only do what God sovereignly allows for his glory and our ultimate good. God is with you, Abraham, in all that you do. God is using a pagan to remind him of the truth. But some of you say, what about believers who died? Brother and sister, God sovereignly decides. You can look at Psalm 139. He knows our days. He knows the days ordained for me. Psalm 139, David says, when there was not one of them. We need not fear. God will protect us. We don't live in a time where we are threatened as much, physically speaking, but that time may change. We certainly are threatened by the evil one. We are threatened in that context. God will protect us. Greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. So in our passage, Abraham and maybe you and maybe I are being reproved concerning our view of God's sovereignty over our lives and his care. In spite of his failures, in spite of our failures, God is faithful. And through this pagan, he reveals his favor upon Abraham. So then we have Abraham reproved and instructed by God through a pagan, and hopefully we too, through the word, by the way. And notice what happens next. Abraham uses this as an opportunity to wisely secure rights to his well, which had been seized. Verse 25, back in our passage in chapter 21 of Genesis. But Abraham complained to Abimelech because of the well of water, which the servants of Abimelech had seized. Here, Abraham apparently uses this opportunity to address an issue of great importance. And by the way, this is of great importance. If you didn't have water in this area, you died. Remember Ishmael in the last chapter? He was about to die. No water, wasn't he? In the same area. Water is very important. And so Abraham uses this time to address his concern concerning the well of water which the servants of Abimelech had seized. That word seize means to violently take. They took it. Later on, we're going to see in chapter 26, the Philistines had stopped up these wells later on when we come to this portion with Isaac. So Abimelech here now responds, and Abimelech said, I do not know who has done this thing. Neither did you tell me, nor did I hear of it until today. Now, we don't know if Abimelech's telling the truth in the majority. Maybe he did know about it. It was his servants. But one thing we do know he was telling the truth about was, neither did you tell me. Abraham, you never said a thing to me about this. You didn't come to me. Abraham doesn't respond, yes, I did. No, you didn't. Yes, I did. He doesn't say that, does he? Abraham had not come to Abimelech. Neither did you tell me. And the implication is that Abraham should have gone to him and said, look, Abimelech, your servants have seized my well. And he didn't. I haven't heard of it. Abraham had not gone to Abimelech, but yet here he does. And he takes this opportunity to share. By the way, on a side note, brothers and sisters, we need to communicate. Instead of presuming things, you know, we should go to them and discuss it rather than leave those things aside. You see, if you have an issue with a brother or sister that you can't let go in Christ, then you need to discuss it with them. You might find out that you were wrong, or maybe you might find out something that you didn't know until you actually discuss it. This will only happen if you go to someone. If you're not willing to let it go, which you should, first of all, we should let things go, right? Let it roll off your back, let it go. But if you're not able to, go to your brother. If you don't, you're going to be presumptive and you're going to see things wrongly. You're going to see those people wrongly. Let it go or communicate it in a godly fashion as led by the Lord. Abraham uses this opportunity to communicate his issue. So what happens at this point? Verse 27, and Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them to Abimelech. Very interesting. Remember back in chapter 20, who gave Abraham sheep and oxen? Abimelech did, didn't he? Now Abraham is giving sheep and oxen, okay, in this context. Now they're going to make a covenant with this and gave them to Abimelech, and the two of them made a covenant. And the term made here in the Hebrew, it means karat, means to cut. And when they would make a covenant, they would take those animals, they would kill them, they would split them in two, and they would separate the carcasses on each side, and they would walk between the carcasses to show symbolically that if I don't keep my word, may I be as these animals who have been cut in two. And so he cut a covenant with him, a deal. A deal not to deal with him falsely, but according to the kindness that Abimelech had shown. And the implication also is the acceptance of Abimelech concerning the well of Abraham. And notice, Abraham wisely offers 7 ewe lambs. Verse 28, then Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech said to Abraham, what do these 7 ewe lambs mean, which you have set by themselves? The term ewe lamb speaks of a very young female lamb. It's a baby lamb. It's a female baby lamb. And I'm not much into animals. I like dogs. But as you look at baby lambs, they're really cute. And if you think about the prophet Nathan, when he told David the story of the person who took the poor man's ewe lamb and served it to his guests, and then he said to David, you're the man, you're the one that did that. This is speaking of a young female lamb, and here he took 7 of them. And Abimelech saying, why are you doing this? And he said, verse 30, you shall take these 7 ewe lambs from my hand in order that it may be a witness to me that I dug this well. The point is, take these animals that it is a testimony that this is my well. Okay? Remember, water is very important, and his well had been seized. And then we have the inspired commentary by Moses, verse 31. Therefore, he called the place Beersheba. Now, there's a difference in the word Sheba. Ber means well. That's the Hebrew word for well. Sheba means oath, or you could Sheva, it could be 7. So some would say well of 7. That's really not what it's saying. It's saying well of the oath. That's what it's saying. Beersheba means well of the oath. Because, notice the scripture there, the two of them took an oath. So what happens next? Verse 32, so they made a covenant at Beersheba, and Abimelech and Phicol, the commander of his army, arose and returned to the land of the Philistines. They made a covenant, they made an oath, and they departed. So what do we see here? God is faithful. God is faithful to his word in spite of us. He was faithful to Abraham in spite of his trying to protect himself through the flesh. God was faithful. God is with those who are walking with him. Abraham was walking with the Lord. He failed, but he's walking with the Lord. This is an important lesson for Abraham to be reminded of. He had feared in his life. that these pagans might kill him and his wife. And what happens? Abimelech shows favor to him and his wife, doesn't kill them, and he also gets as well the provision. How foolish the fears of Abraham seem, and how foolish our fears seem in hindsight. Why didn't I just trust the Lord? We need to look back at those times where we didn't and acknowledge them, confess them, and trust the Lord. And then what should our response be? Notice as we finish up here, we should worship the Lord for what he's done. Verse 33. And Abraham planted a tamarisk tree at Beersheba, and there he called on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. After Abimelech and Phicol left, Abraham plants a tamarisk tree at Beersheba. That's where the well is at. Now, what's the significance of planting this tamarisk tree? We don't totally know for sure, but what we do know, it is connected with him calling upon the name of the Lord, which is worshiping. Some type of memorial to God's faithfulness in taking care of him. His faithful protection and provision. Do you look at his protection and provision in your life and give him glory for it? Look back at those things where God has protected you. He has provided for you, and give him glory and worship him. He plants a tamarisk tree, and then he calls upon the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. The term calling on the name of the Lord speaks of worship. We saw it back in 4:26, where men began to call on the name of the Lord. We saw it in chapter 12, verse 8, and 13, verse 4. Abraham was calling upon the name of the Lord, worshiping him. And here we have, in response to God's sovereign protection and favor, even in the midst of these pagans, he feared for his life at one time. Abraham is worshiping the Lord, the I Am, the self-existent one. And then he qualifies that phrase. Notice the end of verse 33, the everlasting God. This is the first time this phrase appears in Scripture, and it is the reality that God is eternal and everlasting. We're not everlasting in terms of we were created. God is from eternity to eternity. He is God. Now, we'll live forever because of Jesus. We'll either live forever in hell or with him because of Christ. But he is the everlasting God. He is way beyond us. And he is my sun and shield. He is the one who lifts my head. He is the one who protects me. He is the one who is with me in all that I do and all that you do. The right response is to worship. Abraham responded, worshiping the Lord. Do you call upon the name of the Lord? Lord God, thank you for what you have done. Thank you for your protection. Thank you for your provision. Thank you for your faithfulness to your word. And then notice we have the final statement, verse 34. And Abraham sojourned in the land of the Philistines many days. Very interesting statement. He sojourned in the land of the Philistines. Obviously, this comment reveals that he was protected, wasn't he? Many days. No problems there. God was protecting him. But we also have this phrase, sojourned. The term speaks of being a temporary resident. Abraham was in the land. This is the land of Canaan, the southern portion of it, which was to be his and his descendants. But he recognized it was not his home. And this is not our home, brothers and sisters. Don't get too comfortable here in this world. Because if you are, your heart is not right towards God. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. I was so struck as I was traveling this week, even in a beautiful place, that this is not our home. This is not our home. It's corrupted by sin. Hebrews chapter 11. Let's finish up with this. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, obeyed the Lord, going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. That's when he came to the land of Canaan, right? By faith, notice what it says. He lived as an alien in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. Notice what he says in verse 10, and I hope this is your heart too. For he was looking for the city which has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore also there was born of one man of him as good as dead, at that as many descendants as the stars of the heaven in number and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. Look at verse 13. All these died in faith, without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance, and having confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. Have you acknowledged that? This is not our life. This is not our home. If you are comfortable here, something is wrong in your heart. We are strangers and aliens. And Abraham, the paradigm of faith, is a sojourner. And notice what he says here. He says, for those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. And indeed, if they had been thinking of the country from which they had went out, they would have had an opportunity to return. And look at this, verse 16. But as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. I hope your heart is on eternity. I hope you recognize you're a sojourner, you're an alien. I hope you're not comfortable with this world. It is sin-cursed. It is full of wickedness. It is going to be destroyed. Yet God is gracious, and we are here for a purpose, for a season, to do his will. Are you seeking a better country, a heavenly one? Abraham walked by faith, and although he was in the land, he was a sojourner. If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're going to fail. You're going to falter. And although we fail, I hope that you have been confronted with the faithfulness of the eternal God today. I hope in light of your failures, you're saying, why didn't I just trust the Lord? Not moping around, but praising him for revealing that he is the God who is with us. He will never leave us nor forsake us. God is faithful in spite of us. Let me apply a few things that we've seen here. Brothers and sisters, would those around you who don't know Christ know there's something different in your life? I'm not saying some pious religiosity or verbiage. Do they know there's something different about you? We're not perfect. We fail. But do they see Christ? Do those non-believers in your family, at work, those in whom you go around temporal business, do they know there's something different? Again, we're not perfect, but there should be an evidence of Christ in our lives. If you've fallen and destroyed your testimony, if you've failed, like Abraham failed, confess it. Trust the Lord. There'll be consequences. The Abimelechs will bring that up. But yet, trust the Lord. And do the right thing and walk with him and know he is with you. What else do we need to learn? We need to recognize that God is with us. He will never forsake us. If you have trusted in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, he will never leave you. He will never forsake you. He is for you and not against you. Trust him. No matter what you see, no matter what happens in every element of life, don't fear, but trust Christ.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, and today's message is from Greg's series in Genesis. You can hear today's message again by visiting us online at etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Now, in addition to today's message, you'll find other Bible studies and audio series at our website. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all of our audio resources are provided at no cost to you. This is made possible by the Lord's faithful provision through listeners like you. For more information about this series in Genesis or the ministry of Equipping the Saints, visit us online at etsradio.org. The Everlasting God. Greg, I didn't realize that verse 33 is the first time this expression is used in Scripture.
Indeed, Dave, just knowing that he is the everlasting God, knowing that he is sovereign behind everything, we can trust him no matter what. We know that he will never leave us nor forsake us, that he is for us and not against us. What a reassuring truth. Brother or sister, are you going through a difficult situation? Trust in the living God.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you're receiving spiritual benefit from Equipping the Saints, would you prayerfully consider sending a gift today? Every gift makes a difference. No gift is too small, and every dollar is put right back into the ministry. To send a gift to Equipping the Saints, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to donate online, our web address is etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again next time, right here, for another edition of Equipping the Saints.